No She Didn't is a new podcast produced by a husband and wife team. They focus on the forensic psychology aspect of true crime and criminal investigations. Each week a new podcast will be released on Fridays discussing a true crime case and how forensic psychology played a role in the investigation.
Hey guys, it's Alicia from the No She Didn't podcast bringing you a bonus episode for this week. The bonus episode is actually going to be in relation to the case that we told you about last week, which was the Gary Lee Sampson murders. Gary was responsible for the murders of three men and an attempted murder of another man. The day before Gary went on his murder spree, he actually reached out to the FBI for help. He called the Boston FBI office, and the call was disconnected before it could reach an FBI agent. The man responsible for dropping the call was William Pub Anderson. The FBI was actually sued by the family of one of Gary's victims for $10 million. So this is going to be a story of how a drop call led to ruining multiple lives, including the lives of a man that dropped the call. So on July the 23rd of 2001, Gary Lee Sampson called the FBI office from a local payphone to turn himself in for the bank robberies he had recently committed. So William Pub Anderson answered the call. Pub Anderson was actually answering calls that day while the switchboard clerk was away for a break. She was on lunch. And so Pub normally ran background checks and performed clerical duties for the FBI, so it wasn't his typical thing to be at the switchboard. So when he went to transfer the call to an agent, he accidentally dropped the call. So there was no call back from Sampson, and there was no attempt to call back the number where Sampson had last called from. The call actually lasted only a total of 55 seconds. Now, at that time, there was no way to trace a call or to even be able to pinpoint a location that the call came in from. So no one from the FBI knew about the call until Sampson was caught, and he blamed the murders on the FBI for not taking him seriously and hanging up on him when he tried to call and turn himself in. So in August of 2001, Pub unfortunately lied to his supervisors when he was asked about taking the call. He told his supervisors that he didn't remember answering the call from Sampson. So they went on and had further investigations that lasted all the way up till December. But in October of 2001, there was another investigation, and again, he denied taking the call. So in 2001, December of 2001, Pub was given a polygraph test, and two of his responses actually appeared to be deceptive. So after that, the FBI subpoenaed telephone records from a payphone outside of the Abington, Massachusetts convenience store where Sampson actually called from. Finally, Mr. Anderson admitted to taking the call. So you might be asking yourself, why is a drop phone call so important? Well, the reason is actually because the death penalty was on the table for the Sampson case. If Sampson really did call for help, then he actually may not be worthy of a death penalty, but actually life in prison. So the error was beneficial to Gary's defense, and so a source from the case made the following statement. It could make for a very compelling case against the death penalty, and one answer as to why he shouldn't be put to death is because he was trying to get help. He tried to turn himself in, and he was turned away by the government. So that source actually went on to say, it would certainly have a bearing on whether or not it becomes a death penalty case if it turns out to be true that the defendant tried to take himself off the streets the day before the murders. One, it's very embarrassing to the government, and two, the jury might say, here was a guy who was trying to turn himself in, and that makes it potentially mitigating. So the source actually told of another case in New Jersey. It was a death penalty case in which a double murderer, Anthony McDougald, won a life sentence after jurors found out that he tried to check himself into a mental hospital before the slayings. So Pub was actually formally charged and put on trial for his error, and the attorney for the family of the murdered man made the following statement. They said, I'm sure Mr. Anderson feels very bad about it, and we are, however, responsible for our actions or inactions. No effort was made to apprehend Sampson, and even if there was an inadvertent disconnect of the call, there was nothing but a cover-up after that. So during his trial, District Judge Mark Wolf, which was actually the same judge that was over the Sampson trial, criticized Mr. Anderson for withholding information and lying to investigators. He said, "You have committed a very serious crime, and in my view, lying to federal investigators under any circumstances is always serious, and it's especially serious in this case." So prosecutors actually recommended that Anderson serve 6 months of home confinement and 2 years of probation on the charge of making a false statement for lying. So Assistant U.S. Attorney Stephen Huggard said he believed that Anderson lied after he inadvertently disconnected Sampson's call because he was a scared employee who was motivated by trying to keep his job, you know, and after he mishandled the phone call. So the judge actually said he considered Anderson's lying more serious because of the Sampson's claim that he tried to turn himself in before he committed the killings. So he said this case involved the risk that the perjury would deprive the jury in the death penalty case of relevant information. So the judge did say that he considered Anderson's health problems in his sentence because Mr. Anderson actually suffered from severe diabetes. Mr. Anderson was 45 at the time that he was on trial, and he had already began to lose his eyesight, and the nerve endings in his lower legs were damaged. And so Anderson's lawyer said it would be difficult for Anderson to be able to monitor his diabetes carefully and to get the regular treatment that he needed while in prison. They did add into the case that Mr. Anderson's brother died of diabetes at age of 46. So Mr. Anderson, who is seriously ill with diabetes, lost his job with the FBI after 17 years. He also lost his pension, but he was extremely apologetic at his sentencing. So Pub would actually serve 5 of the 6-month sentence in jail. So unfortunately for this case, Mr. Anderson would pass away 5 years later. So from complications of stemming from diabetes. So it was a sad case all the way around for everyone involved. The lawsuit was actually dropped against the FBI, and we all know that Sampson was given the death penalty in the case. So it was just a very sad case all the way around, and it just goes to show you that something as simple as a dropped phone call can actually alter, you know, a verdict. So we have to be very careful about what we do and what we say, because someone else can actually use that to their advantage. And so we always want to be careful. So wanted to say that we are looking forward to bringing you this week's full episode, and it's going to actually be about serial killers and how they choose their victims. So we're going to focus on some cases where serial killers have actually chosen victims because of the color of their hair. In this instance, these cases are about killers that have chosen redheads to be their victims. And so we're going to bring you some cases and tell you a little bit about that. And so we look forward to hearing from you guys, and look so forward to talking to you guys later this week. Hope you guys have a blessed day.